Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul. Many years ago, Julie Andrews made her Broadway debut in a musical comedy called The Boyfriend. I was lucky enough to see that performance. Tonight, The Boyfriend's opening at Cyrano's. And our guests are Lindsay Lamar, who is playing the Julie Andrews role.
Hello.
And the director, Dagan Mitchell. So tell us about The Boyfriend.
Well, The Boyfriend is written in 1953 by Sandy Wilson, a British musical, and set in the 1920s, and it's a pastiche of 1920s musicals. It was written at a time when Great Britain was trying to get out of the overall feeling of having just gone through World War II, and set in the 1920s, which was also a nice free and easy time getting out of World War I, and written to be, you know, this kind of big, fun, you know, it's not heavy on plot. It's, you know, it's girl wants boy, girl meets boy, girl gets boy.
That's
yeah.
the way it happens.
It's just a fun, good time, which, you know, it's kind of perfect for this time of year when we're.
And it's got wonderful jazzy music.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And dance numbers.
Yeah.
And Lindsay Lamar, you play the girlfriend.
I play a girlfriend, yes. I actually play the part that Julie Andrews played on Broadway, which is a thrill, yeah.
What's the name of the character?
Polly Brown.
Polly Brown.
Yes.
That sounds familiar almost. All I know about this movie is I saw the Ken Russell, play the movie. And I always say that when I do these things because I see the movie version first. And there's no shame in that because, you know, that's what we see. All movies are based on plays, more or less, one way or another. And have you seen it, the Ken Russell?
I have seen it. It's very different from
the play
because it's
all his work.
Actually a play within a, a movie within a movie, actually,
it's
a play within
complicated.
A play. And Twiggy's
in it, yeah.
Polly Brown in it. But it's a very different, it's the making of a movie and the young star, you know, the young chorus girl gets to fill in for the leading lady when she breaks her leg. And
Right.
There's
it's
lots
almost
of
like 42nd
like
Street with Ruby Keeler.
And they changed some of the music. Apparently Sandy Wilson had lots to say, not in a good way, about the Ken Russell
Well, yeah,
film,
well, he's so psychedelic. Yeah. But getting back to the Cyrano's production, so this is like a loving homage to, it's nostalgia of nostalgia.
It is. The 1920s musicals were still, the musical form hadn't developed that much, and especially in Britain, since the musical theater that we know today, where the plot is forwarded by the story and the dance and these kind of things, was really developed, in America. It's like our claim to fame
Oklahoma.
In theater. And in the 1920s in particular, musicals were still, people broke out into song and dance for really no rhyme or reason.
And as it should be.
And as it's fun.
And it's very fun. I mean, characters enter for no other reason but to start singing in a song that other people are singing on stage and then disappear because the song is over. So, and it's absolutely wonderful. I can't stop smiling during rehearsals, and I'm there every day. I mean, I find myself grinning like an idiot sitting in my seat and not even taking notes because it's just like, duh.
I think they call
so cute and sweet.
They call it idiot glee.
It is. It is absolutely idiot glee. You just feel warm and nice, and it's just.
And I have to say that you can't say the name of the dance, Charleston, to me that the Charleston from The Boyfriend doesn't instantly leap into my mind.
Yes.
It is the epitome of all Charlestons, at least to me.
Yes, it's lots of great numbers, like Won't You Charleston With Me, and is one of them. It's just, that's a fun and fabulous.
Mm-hmm. There's, of course, the song called The Boyfriend for the title
of it.
There's I Could Be Happy With You. I mean, there's just so many songs. And actually, it's in rehearsals, I start going, oh, that's my favorite song. And then something else comes up and they do it and I go, no, that's my favorite song. I mean, there's just so many good numbers. And there's each one has unique things about it that make it charming in its own sense. So
it's so historical. I mean, it's kind of like an encyclopedia of like all those dance hall styles. Mm-hmm. But back then when they would have those like weird like variety shows, is it kind of like what you see in those old movies like The Entertainer, you know, with Archie Moore? No, he's a boxer. No, you know who I'm talking about. Laurence Olivier, he made that movie where he's like the bitter comic, you know, the variety dance hall guy, you know. Anyway, it's another movie. I shouldn't be talking about it. It was stage play also. But anyway, so these things you're talking about is coming like from deprivation, but it's so funny because I'm thinking of like the Beatles, like eating like baked beans on toast, you know, and this is like, you know, like a big delicacy for them because they had rationing up to like 1960, you know, this is the British Empire. What's going on here? You know,
it's definitely a show that is so different from nowadays that you really just kind of escape into it. You know, you go in and watch and it's a feast for the eyes and you're smiling and they say, you know, you may need to go to the dentist afterwards because it's so sweet to get a cavity.
Well, there's another thing about it too, that it shows a picture of life everywhere before the women's movement.
Oh, absolutely. And
it's like meeting Jane Austen in that respect.
In many ways, and it's definitely that way, like this kind of nostalgic period piece. And it's we left that alone. It's like let the play stand on what it is. It's charming, it's fun, and it's at a time when these British girls went off to boarding school in France, and what they were trained to do is be good wives. And they wanted to meet a nice man and marry a nice and rich man and live happily ever after. And it's, you just have to kind of let that be in the play and not try and analyze it, you know, and look at it from today, because you would ruin the show. I mean, it's just charming and fun and sweet, and you just kind of let it go. There's a song in the show sung between the character of Lord Brockhurst and a young girl named Dulcie, and it's Never Too Late to Fall in Love. And it's this little flirtation number between a 17-year-old girl and a man in his 50s. And it's today's sensibilities are very much the, ooh, pedophile. But the song doesn't come across that way at all. It's just a sweet, charming, flirtatious number. And at that time, people probably just, old scoundrels will be scallywags and young girls will be young girls, and just let them be. You know, just let it be. Let them flirt. Don't try and put a social commentary.
Well, don't forget that they were very heavily chaperoned, so nothing could have happened anyway.
Yeah. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Stage Talk on KSKA. We're talking about the musical play, The Boyfriend, which will be opening tonight at Cyrano's. Getting back to what you were saying, Aaron, about that, with that age difference thing like that, there was also a certain amount of acceptability because, you know, like a bachelor guy, he made his fortune and now it's time for him to, like, you know, he could have a family now because he has the money. And, you know, so pretty girl, rich guy, they go together.
Yeah, and the show, absolutely. I keep making jokes about it, about, well, I'm rich. Let's get married. And it has this kind of feeling like, well, it'll all be okay because we have money.
So there's that class struggle thing going in there, too.
Because, you know, we're not seeing, you know, lower class characters. There's a maid, but, you know, she's happy at her job and, you know, loves her life. Everyone is just happy. And I think, you know, when you're coming out of a war, you know, in those times, you need to just feel happy about what things were. And I'm sure the people at that time knew, you know, that they were seeing, in essence, something just to feel good as well.
Sort of an upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah.
With only the upstairs.
So you're not like a working girl from the north.
No.
I come, like, starstruck.
I my character is actually struggling with, she wants to marry for love and not just for money.
But why are you in, like, musical theater?
Me as an actor?
Yeah. No. In the play, I'm saying.
Oh, in the play, they just break out in song. They're not necessarily in a play.
But it's a stage door comedy, right?
No.
No, it actually is.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right, right. The whole time I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, it's different from the movie in that way. It does have a plot. I mean, there is a story. It's just very thin. It's kind of connecting all of the songs, you know. But it is a story. We are these characters, and we're driven along by all of this music.
We must remember about these characters that they are sent to the school to marry rich, but they don't go to the school so that they can learn to be good wives and marry rich. Their rich parents send them to the school.
Absolutely.
So that they will not be exposed to anyone
but rich
boys.
Yeah, yeah. like the Jane Austen thing you're talking about. Because, and do you have English accents?
We do. We try to.
Do you have a coach, somebody like keeping you like on track?
Actually, luckily, Erin, our director here, is has experience with dialects. So she's able to give us pointers. You know, we're saying one word slightly not quite British enough. There's also French dialects. One character is American. And so he gets to just, you know, do his thing. But the rest of us all have to have our accents.
Who else is in the show?
Oh, it's, we got a great cast. David Haynes as Percival Brown,
my
Lindsay's father.
Yep.
Catherine Strzok plays Madame Dubonnet, the headmistress to the school. Blaise Bell, Patrick Lauren, Anthony Lounsbury.
David Powell.
David Powell is the boyfriend among the boyfriends.
Jared Mayer, Jacob Rowe. There's a lot of people in there.
Miranda, yeah. Kristen Fernandez.
Well, it has a big chorus.
Yes.
It's for a musical, for one of the big Broadway musicals, it's considered a small cast show. It has 17 characters, and we have 16 actors.
Wow.
One actor plays two different roles.
And who's playing the music? You got a little pit band?
Lynette Harpel is an accompanist for
that. She's the best.
Absolutely. And she's right out there, right in front of the booth in Cyrano's, right where the audience can enjoy her and watch her play and have a good time. The characters at times will interact with her slightly, kind of, you know, pay a little, you know, homage to her, smile, et cetera. It's like, hey, there's the pianist, you know.
and you have some, I mean, I can't imagine it. I'm going to see it, of course, because I'm really looking forward. But what kind of set is it?
It's, that was one of the big challenges when I read the show and when Sandy Harper at Cyrano's asked me to direct it. I read it. It's a three-act play with three different locales. It takes place all in one day, but every act, everyone changes costumes. And I went, oh, my goodness, in Cyrano's? We're going to do this huge, you know, musical in Cyrano's.
And period costumes.
And period costumes. And our set designer is Amanda Walker. I've worked with her at TBA Theater, and she's directing the Barber of, or designing the Barber of Seville for the opera coming up. And she came in and approached it and has designed, it's a very Mediterranean feeling set. The walls are all painted with beach scenes and curtains kind of drape over, and these sheer curtains, and can be brushed aside so you can see, you know, this little Mediterranean color setting, seasides, and
wow.
You know, just to give it that feeling, because in Cyrano's, it's really hard to fully change a set every
act. Yeah, definitely, and have the lights and the costume.
So we change the furniture and, you know.
Wow. Yeah. And who does the costumes real quick?
Liliana Robertson is her name.
Wow. Hats off to her. What a job.
Yep, there's quite a few costumes.
Great. Well, that's about all time we have time for right now. But thank you so much for coming down and telling us about The Boyfriend. We've been talking to Lindsay Lamar and Aaron Dagan Mitchell, the director. And the show is The Boyfriend, and it opens tonight at Cyrano's. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. An audition notice for a play called Sweet by Shotzi Schaefer's at Out North on Sunday at 2 p.m. Saturday at 2 p.m. That's tomorrow, December 6th. Roles for several women of varying ages. For more information, call Shotzi at 279-8099.
And Valley Performing Arts presents A Christmas Story, and this play runs to December the 21st. Show times are Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. at the Makatans Theater in Wasilla. For tickets, you can go online to valleyperformingarts.org or call 373-0195. That's 373-0195.
Alaska Fine Arts Academy in Eagle River presents Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, five performances only, tomorrow, Saturday at 7 p.m., Sunday, December 7th at 7 p.m., then next weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m., with a final Sunday show at 2 p.m. For tickets, go to www.akfinearts.org or call 694-8909. That's 694-8909.
And finally, at Cyrano's, The Boyfriend opens tonight, and this show runs Thursdays through Saturdays at 7 p.m. with a Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. with two extra holiday shows, Monday the 22nd and Tuesday the 23rd, both at 7 p.m. And this is at Cyrano's Playhouse on D Street. For tickets or more information, call 263-ARTS, or you can go to centertix.net, or you can just call Cyrano's at 274-2599. Well, that's it for this week's Stage Talk. Thanks so much for listening. Until next week, I'm Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul. And be sure and tune in next week when we are going to interview two Scrooges from two very different productions of The Christmas Carol. So tune in to KSKA for Dueling Scrooges.